You're listening to Power Pearls Podcast, intuitive, purpose-driven yarn crafting to empower your knits and pearls. Hey, Power Pearlers, before we get started with this episode, just a few quick announcements for you. I first want to share that Power Pearls Unplugged now has a new home on IGTV. You can check out my new videos every week by visiting me on Instagram, checking out my channel. You can find me by searching at Kara Gott Warner. So make sure to follow me so you know when I post new videos. Also, if you want to stay even more connected, join my email list to get updates on new videos, podcast episodes, challenges, and mini courses, and of course, other activities that I'm up to. So go to karagottwarner.com/updates. Okay, on with the show. I hope you enjoy.
Hey there, Tabitha. Thanks for joining me again today.
Hello. Thank you again for having me back. I hope nobody's sick of me yet.
Oh my gosh. It is a joy. You are a joy. And I love chatting with you.
Likewise.
So what are we going to be talking today?
Copy.
So how to write snappy online copy. And when we, that rhymes. That's cool. Snappy copy. Snappy online copy. I don't know. It sounds like catchy. So when we were coming up with this topic, so at first it was snappy copy. And I said, well, you know, who are we talking to? Where is this going to appear? You know, and then kind of realize that online copy is what makes sense, because that's what a lot of us are doing out there. We have a Ravelry presence, whatever, up to like a bigger presence online. You know, we need to be able to write intriguing and captivating copy.
Yeah.
So we're going to offer three tips. So this is going to be more like a little mini-sode today, I think, but three tips to write like a pro. So little tasty chunks for you guys. Three tips to take so that you can write like a pro for your creative business. And I know that copy scares a lot of you guys, maybe we'll be afraid that we're going to write something that's pressury or too salesy, both of which are mindsets that it's good to let go of that, because I think we're our harshest critics, you know?
We are. And I get that all the time from designers and from like my mom, who is a crafter that sells on Etsy. She's always saying, I don't know how to write about this product. I can't write about myself and my work that way, you know?
What is your mom selling on Etsy?
My mom's has a Running Frog Studio, and she sells custom coffee mugs and t-shirts and onesies. She is a home printer, so she designs graphics and text and can put it on mugs and clothing and dish towels and mouse pads and bookmarks. So she sells all that kind of stuff.
I'm sorry. I think I was talking over her Etsy shop name is what?
Running Frog Studio.
I'm going to just add that to the show notes here.
And she does amazing work, I can guarantee. And I write a lot of her copy for her.
Oh my God, that's awesome. So Running Frog Studio.
Yep.
On Etsy. Awesome.
That's right.
Little sidebar there. Copy at the end of the day, it should be personal. You know, of course, if you have a creative business and you call it a business, it means you want to make money, right?
Yep.
It's okay to ask, right? So you have to also learn that's something I just realized. Now, we didn't place that in our little tips, but have to ask, right? And so being okay with that. And so Gary Vaynerchuk uses the phrase jab, 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 right hook. I don't know how many jabs he has there, but it's give. And other people, I've heard Jenna Kutcher say this too, give, 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 take. Or no, she doesn't say take. give, ask. Something like that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that stuff, you guys. Anyway, so that was something that just sort of prefacing these things that we're going to talk about here, is good to realize that it's okay. You know, if we are giving, we're giving things freely. We're giving advice. We're giving valuable things in the form of our knowledge, that it is okay to ask. We need to be confident about that in our copy
too. Right. And copy doesn't just mean your sales pitch on your landing page. It is the description that you need for your product, whether it's a pattern or a t-shirt or a mug or something like that. It's the content that you put on your social media to promote your product or talk about your product or sell your product. And so copy, I don't even know why it's called copy, but, but that's what copy is. It encompasses all of those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And I think all three tips that we have today will be able to help all of those specific areas, I think.
Okay, so you want to jump in with number one?
Sure. First things first, make it personal. Now, I hate client interviews and these concepts of archetypes, which I know are really, really popular, but I just can't stand it. Because for me, it just boils down to three types of customers. You have customer one, who knows absolutely nothing about you, nothing about your work, might not even really have a problem that they're aware of yet. That's customer one. Customer number two is the one that knows a little bit, knows they like this, knows they need or want something else, but they don't really know what that one thing is, that thing that's going to solve their desire or, you know, fulfill their need. And then you have customer three, which actually knows quite a bit, probably knows you really, really well, wants something, needs something, desires something, but they don't know how to go about it. And so you, as long as you can make it personal and answer those three specific customers, not all at the same time, but when you're writing copy and for a product that's geared towards one of those customers, make it personal. You need to just know them well enough to know, are they the funny client, the sweet client, the serious client, so you could tailor your verbiage? Do they need something, think they need something, or not really aware that they need something yet? And so if you can just answer a few of those questions, then you'll be able to write it personally. And so when you write your copy, you choose one of those clients and you write it towards them.
Yeah. And I think, and as our, you know, with our experiences, you know, both as me being a former magazine editor and in your job as the creative director.
Design director.
I know. It's like, I'm saying that wrong. Design director of Sweet Georgia Yarns. So we're thinking about who our ICA is, or also known as the ICA, not the ICA, the UCA. I always get that wrong. ICA. Oh my gosh.
Don't you hate when you can't remember what the abbreviation is?
Yeah, because it's something that Marie Forleo talks about all the time, and I'm, you know, being in B school, I'll have to cut this out because I'm like, duh, I'm going to get an F. I think it's USP, USP. You're customer, you know, you want to make sure that you understand, like Tabitha, like you were saying, but sometimes you don't get so personal that you actually forget or assume that someone knows what you're going to talk about, because that's something, and I'm just saying this from experience, from things that I see others do.
Yeah.
It's a trap that maybe we can fall into. I've fallen into where you confuse or you don't give enough information so someone understands, you know, maybe you're doing a challenge on your Facebook page about whatever, but people don't know, you know, there might be some very important details that you leave out, like, you know, where to get the yarn, what is the project, where do we get the pattern, like all little details that, you know, aside from the copy, work that out and then understand how the copy will flow from that. So I think it's, you know, easy to
forget. Well, and it's easy to kind of alienate, like if you're only going to the person who, or, you know, writing your copy geared towards the person who already knows all about you, then you're kind of alienating the people who don't know all about you. They just, you know, so it, you know, when there's knowing what kind of person and business you are, but that doesn't necessarily translate to everybody else. So yes, you want your message to come through, but you also need to have a message that reaches the other personalities out there.
Yeah, and you said it right. I mean, it's if you qualify your customer and you know who you're talking to before you start, then you will have no problem and everything will flow from there.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so how about number two?
Number two. I think this is what trips people up. Address the problem. But I make knitting patterns, there's no problem. Change problem to need, desire, lust, love, whatever somebody is looking for, whatever they need, they want to fulfill their knitting world or delight their coffee fantasies or, you know, whatever it is. You're addressing that, you know, and so you address it directly and you make it emotional, you know, so use more verbs and less adjectives. You don't need to say it's wonderfully surprising, da 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 da. You want them to go out and do something. So, you know, say, for example, and I'm kind of kicking myself for this right now, but I know that I am personally very, very tired of all of the garter stitch shawls everywhere. And it, so, you know, so I think you're thinking, tired of the same garter stitch shawls, question mark. I am directly addressing the frustration that somebody might be experiencing. And I'm going to tell them, find joy again with lace that captivates. You know, it's very short, it's very sweet, but it directly addresses the problem, need, or desire, and it gives them an action, and it makes it emotional. You're hitting on their joy, you're telling them to go look for it, and you're addressing the need. So address the problem and make it emotional. That's the tip number two.
And I just want to add to that another angle or another something a little bit more overarching. So aside from, let's say, the garter stitch shawl, I've seen too many of those. Another way, and I've noticed this to be very impactful in with my audience, those of you listening, but it's to really to key into this part of us as knitters, yarn crafters, where we don't feel confident. So I talk a lot about follow your intuition, how to be a more intuitive knitter, and that that's another. So it's not the actual technique, but it's about the emotion, going back to what you said about emotion. So, you know, you're fulfilling, you're filling a need, you're filling, you know, it's a pain point that you're helping someone with. So in this example, it's like, I'm helping someone to become a more intuitive knitter and to gain confidence and be able to just pick up those needles and just go for it. Right.
And if you don't know what the need or the problem or the desire is, think about what you've struggled with in the past, just like you did. You know, it's, I needed to find more mindfulness with my crafting. Boom. Found a need, you found a desire, and you've come up with a way to address that. And so you use that in your storytelling. All copy needs emotion, action, and connection. So connect it with you and your client. So you're still, it's that personal thing. Tell your story. And at the same time, that story connects with them. That problem connects with them and you have the solution.
Yeah. It makes it real for them. And also it creates you it makes you more unique.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, we are talking very general and generic when it comes to like a knitwear designer or whatever, creative. Those are very generic terms and descriptions, but it's infusing you into that equation.
Yeah.
Incredibly, incredibly unique. So that's a huge goal. So we're talking about snappy copy, a little bit of grammar here and there, but you want to almost have that. You want to be thinking in terms of like making this a conversation. And so if grammar, and I just want to add this here, if grammar trips you up, like I know for myself, when I have a concept in my brain, I vomit it on the page and then I fix the grammar.
Yes.
Don't lose the message, right?
Yeah, so don't lose the message. Vomit it out and you can fix the spell. You can run spell check later, which I do have a resource for you. There's I have two great things that I use. Well, and I'm phasing one out because I'm reusing another one because fan-freaking-tastic. I start out with Grammarly.
Oh yeah,
which is fantastic. There's a free version you can use. And you can, it works with your Word program. It works with your internet. It's got a little thing and automatically it'll highlight all your problems from grammar to spelling. My other one that I'm transitioning to, because it's just, it even goes into style and readability. It's called Pro Writing Aid, and it's free for up to 500 words at a time also. And it's, I use it for my fiction and nonfiction, and it's perfect for copy as well. It's fantastic. Really? So it's like kind of like having a mini editor without a full-time editor. Yeah.
So what do you do? Do you like sort of paste and copy and paste your copy inside of this
thing? I do, but it also has plugins that work with Word. It works with Scrivener. It works.
Oh, wow.
A couple other software. I just started using it yesterday, but it blew my mind. So I had to tell you about it.
And you just mentioned Scrivener. So I'll just mention what that is. It's a Word. It's like a writing program where you can organize a novel or a book. Yeah. And it's like a license. So it's like $30 to $40. I mean, it's.
Yeah, I think it's like $48 or something like that.
Great. It's awesome. It is.
You can export easily to Kindle and other, and like EPUB books, and you can add images. It's great for organizing my research or, you know, when I'm writing fiction. You know, I have all of these chapters and table of contents without a real table of contents. So I need to be able to keep things. So it's great at organizing that way.
That's great. Okay. So I'm going to jump into the last one. So number three is catch their attention. This sort of ties into what we were saying about vomiting on the page, because like if I have an idea and a concept, I really feel like, oh, this is going to inspire them. Get it on that page and then futz with the, you know, with the grammar.
Yeah.
So I think it's important though to, I heard someone say this once, and maybe it was Jeff Goins or somebody like that. I don't know. Someone else probably said it too, but the first sentence, I think he was quoting somebody else. The first sentence of everything you write is junk. Get rid of it. Just like if you write a blog post or you write anything and you look at your first paragraph or your first sentence, it's usually like,
what? It usually is pretty poopy.
You can completely delete it.
Yep.
But in the first sentence, make sure it gets to the point. So make your offer, whatever you're offering, whether it's a paid product or it's just a freebie or it's just advice, make it irresistible. So that's your offer. Make it irresistible and describe immediately in as much detail as possible what it is that you want to address. Because since we're talking in the context of online copy, remember, you've got competition. People, what is it like, you know, within the first 3 seconds, they're gone. If you don't have something that's enticing and interesting, you're going to get X'd out pretty quickly. Yeah. So if you've got a tweet or you're on Facebook, and here's another thing I just thought of now, is like Facebook is a great example of this. And we're going to be talking about this in another episode about social media, but, you know, algorithms have changed recently on Facebook. And so Facebook is like really, really getting people, they're saying, hey, we want you to have conversations. We want you to ask questions and start the conversations inside Facebook, inside the comments. Don't tell people to leave Facebook and go get your thing. I'm not saying you shouldn't consider that, but you also have to realize that Facebook is coming back full circle to saying, this is why Facebook exists, and we want genuine, authentic conversations happening inside Facebook. So kind of, you know, add that into the mix. Remember that that's going to be an important thing, or is an important thing right now. So really try to add that engagement. And remember, if you ask a question in your copy, in your offer, whatever it is, that means you're going to have fun. You're going to be able to have fun with the people that you're engaging with. And then you get to learn about your, you know, the people that you want to serve, the people you want to reach more by asking those questions. So that's a very useful one.
Yeah. And I don't know if it necessarily has to be in the first sentence, but you definitely want it before the fold and within those first couple seconds that somebody's reading something. Because it can be really hard to have your offer and your irresistibility and all that kind of stuff. But so let me just say, don't start with this. So I made a new thing. Don't start with that. Just never, ever, ever start with that. Their eyes have already glazed over.
Exactly. Yeah, totally.
Start with, you know, awesome thing does
Mm-hmm. Right. To solve the problem. Yep. Solve the problem. You know, there's always a problem. We all have problems.
That's right.
So, but anyway, so that's great. That's those three things. So just to like recap really quick. So number one is make it personal, right? So this is really important to remember that. We want who we're talking to. We've got the three different archetypes. We want to remember those people. And once we know who we're talking to, it will be easy for us to actually key into that. Number two is to address the problem, need, desire, and then make it emotional. So it's still kind of like making it personal as a segue to number two. And really, so like Tabitha used the example of, you know, tired of the same garter stitch, or I use the example of when I help, you know, knitters with making shawls, you know, that are there, you know, you don't have the confidence. So how do you be, how can you become intuitive, you know, kind of like thinking in that overarching kind of struggle. And then number three is to catch their attention pretty quickly and also asking questions, right? So that also does catch attention too. And I think that's it. And then I also have a little resource we want to share with you guys, just paying forward from Marie Forleo. It's called thecopycure.com. This is a free copywriting course from Marie Forleo, and I highly recommend that you guys check it out if you want to.
Really,
yeah, if you really want to up the game with your copywriting. So that's it, Tabitha. I think we got another one in the bag here.
That's it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining me again today.
Thank you for letting me.
All right, you guys. We'll see you next time. Bye. Bye. Here we go. Hey there, Tap. That should be like a blue. That should be like the opener, like a blue, like the blue
should,
or something.
We should have like a bunch of outtakes, like a little outtake clip, like when I say, "Be willing to experiment and flavor."
Yes, most definitely. Oh my gosh, and that would be fun. That would be fun. Yeah,
that totally would be like just a little awesome. Like 1 minute blue.